water. She suffered the same way other swimmers who failed did, getting nasty jellyfish stings. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us for the broadcast today. Let me tell you where we're going. Let me put it this way. Destination, manhood. That's what we're looking at today. And manhood via the mentoring of boys to men. That's the idea in the thought or the concept of what we're thinking about today on the Knowing the Truth radio program. Of course, this Sunday is Father's Day, and so we thought that what better way to prepare ourselves for the celebration of Father's Day across the country than to look at ways to help fathers in the mentoring of their children. Specifically today, we're going to talk about the mentoring of their sons, helping them to become godly young men as they're growing up. There's very specific ways to go about this, and we're going to get some help on the program today in order to do that. I say we're focusing primarily on the men because you'll hear during the broadcast today that there is some help available for fathers in doing that with their daughters as well, and we'll bring that up a little bit as a side note kind of in our discussion today. Let me say that we're going to do a couple of giveaways on the program today as well. I have some giveaways that are directly related to the discussion that we'll have today with the author that we're going to be speaking of, with today during the broadcast. But I also am going to be giving away a couple of copies of R.C. Sproul's book, How Then Shall We Worship? Biblical Principles to Guide Us Today. And let me just hold this up for the folks out there on sermonaudio.com that are watching via the webcast, and they can see a copy of the book there. I'll be giving away a couple copies, four or five copies of that on the program today. I'm moving it even in closer there for our video webcast. By the way, since I'm doing that, since I'm holding that up out there for the folks on Sermon Audio to be able to see that copy, let me tell you that you can watch the program as well as listen to the program. We do a live video webcast of the Knowing the Truth radio program each and every day here on the broadcast. And so we have two things going simultaneously. We have a radio program that is going out, and that's on a 50,000-watt station here on Christian Talk 660. You can listen to that audio program live on Christian Talk 660, audio-only version of it on their website. That's ChristianTalk660.com. You can listen to that there. But in conjunction with that, and by the way, that's a 50,000-watt station covering all of South Carolina, parts of North Carolina, Tennessee, and Georgia. But in addition to that, we now have a live video webcast that is going out, and that video webcast is aired live on sermonaudio.com. That's www.sermonaudio.com. You can see it there right on the homepage of Sermon Audio, but also if you go to my page on the website there, which is sermonaudio.com/knowingthetruth, it'll take you right to a link that you can click on in order to watch the broadcast. And by the way, the broadcast, as you'll see today if you're watching out there, it's not just a talking head thing where it's just a picture of me talking, but Jim Moline has added into the broadcast, he's added a graphics you'll see today. He's actually put together a little bit of a a trailer for the author and the books and the videos that we'll be talking about on today's program. He took some of their material, kind of wove it together, and created like a two-minute trailer that's going to run during the break at the bottom of the hour. And so you'll be able to watch that out there as well. Let me start the broadcast by saying this, that few things in life work out the way that we want them to without planning. My construction experience there at the house is testimony to that. I should have gave Jim some of those videos and some of those images to bring up on the screen. Without planning, not much works out very well. In its most basic form, a plan is pretty straightforward, right? It's set a goal, then determine what steps are needed to achieve that goal. You know, there's not a whole lot of elements involved in a good plan. Here's the question. Why then do so many families, and specifically fathers, neglect a plan when it comes to raising their children? All of a sudden, we switch to a different mode and we say, you know, even in this most important area of our life, we say, well, this area, we're not going to implement a plan or devise a plan. We're just going to play it by ear as we're going along. Well, that has not worked out so well in our families. And so on today's program, we're going to talk about five engaging video conversations with father and actor Kurt Cameron that our author and our guest here today is going to speak about. Our special guest on the program today is the co-author of those videos and the author of the book that goes along with those videos called Boy's Passage, Man's Journey. And our guest on the program today, Gary said that I was going to mutilate his last name, which I normally do. I'm going to try to get it right here, right in the beginning. Let's see how I do. It's Brian Molitor. Oh, I did it. Molitor. I did it. Okay, Brian Molitor. I'm world famous for being able to mutilate even the simplest of names, but Brian Molitor is our guest here on the program. Brian, let me tell you a little bit about Brian as we start the program. He's the founder of Malachi Global Foundation. It's a nonprofit organization that exists to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Malachi Global Foundation utilizes retreats, conferences, seminars, and teaching materials to equip fathers and other mentors as well with the tools needed to love and to discipline the next generation. Brian, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Well, thank you, Kevin. I really appreciate being here.
I started off there with a basic introduction as to what this book is about. But, Brian, why don't you put it in your words? Why did you write this book? Why did you team up with Kurt Cameron in the videos? What did you see that was going on that caused you to say, you know, I really need to put my attention, my skills here on mentoring to work in this particular area?
Well, great question. The book actually was birthed in South Africa. I was in South Africa in 97 doing some work and some ministry over there. And on the way back, I was just consumed with the fact that I'd done a good job as a father of preparing my oldest son, Christopher, to be a good basketball player, a pretty good student, and, you know, a variety of things. But I really hadn't focused a whole lot on helping him transition to the next phase of life, which, of course, was manhood. So I came home and I put together a modern-day rite of passage, which we can talk about in a bit. And following that, there was just a shift in my life and ministry. Actually wrote the initial book on rites of passage and then wrote another one and another one, one for boys, one for girls. And next thing I know, a ministry was birthed to help parents, you know, dads, single moms, grandparents, all over the world to raise that next generation. And what happened was Kirk Cameron out in L.A. got a copy of the book, and he still jokingly gets mad at me because he said I ruined his dinner. He said he read some of the book and was crying in his Thai dinner. God really touched his heart, which was great. And he called me up and asked me if I wanted to meet So we flew him into Michigan. We spent about 3 days together just talking about fatherhood. He's a wonderful dad. He's got 6 children himself. And he went back and applied some of the things that that I teach and wrote about in the book in terms of raising kids. It worked. And he called me back. He said, "Hey, man, let's meet and do a video project together." And so I partnered with Kirk, and we got this thing done. And now it's really doing some neat things. So it's got our 5 fundamental teachings and then a book and a study guide we wrote and so on. So and the need is so great. We know that. I mean, I don't spend any time complaining, and I don't spend much time on statistics of what fatherlessness does. Mm. But I will say, one boy at a time, we've got to turn this around, and we can certainly do that.
Hmm. The idea of your business, and that is taken from the final chapter of the Old Testament scriptures, where we find the closing comments of the all the Old Testament before Christ is going to come on the scene, before there be silence in between that 400 years of silence, and then the New Testament begins and Christ comes on the scene. But they give some very important instruction, interesting instruction that we find there in the closing words of Malachi. Tell our listening audience what text there your ministry in this area is tied to and why that's so important.
Yeah, it's Malachi 4:6. And in that passage, the writer says, he'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. And it's amazing when you look at the whole of Scripture. It's just phenomenal. When I'm doing conferences, I'll ask people a question. I'll ask our listeners this. When did the first blessing take place? So you think about it, and you wonder, kind of, where did that take place? And I'll give them the answer. It took place in the garden. And the first recorded act of the Heavenly Father toward his next generation, toward us, you know, mankind, was to bless. And it was the word Barak. It was to kneel and to adore. And so the Father showed us literally the heart toward the next generation in the very first recorded act toward humanity. Then we come to the very end of the Old Testament, and we are reminded, because I'm sure dads and moms and everybody else was getting it wrong, he says, wait a minute, we've got to now turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and that will result in the children's heart being turned back to the fathers. There wasn't supposed to be a generation gap. And then, Kevin, as you wisely point out, who shows up next after that 430 years of silence in the Scriptures? Jesus comes, and what does he come to change? Our very hearts.
Mm.
So from the very beginning, Kevin, God's plan, our Father, Heavenly Father's plan, was that earthly dads, earthly moms, would be turned toward that next generation and pour into them, prepare them for success. And then here's the good news. The children's heart turns back to us, and when we're old and gray, we have every reason to believe that we will not be abandoned by those generations that come after us. In fact, they will watch over us just as we did them when they were very young.
Hmm. Well said. That passage, once again, is in Malachi chapter 4 in verse 5. I'll read as well because it ties into what you just said. But it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." So we see in the Christ then, Elijah there, of course, referring to the ministry of John the Baptist, preparing the way for the Lord to come, and in that, and then Christ comes on the scene. We have the grace is spoken about, of course, and the fulfillment of the promise, where the hearts of the people who come in faith to Christ, their heart, their old stony heart is taken out there and planted them with a heart of flesh, turned towards the things of God and interested in serving God. And one of the things that then becomes important to them is their family, to the father specifically we're talking about. Their family becomes important to them, and they begin to realize that they have a responsibility to their wife and to their children. And yet what we find, Brian, is so many men are intimidated, and they don't know where to start. And they say, yes, I want to, you know, invest in my family, especially in my children. I want to do the job that God has called me to do. But how do I do this? And how do I do it correctly? I get one shot here at doing this. How do I do this? Do you find that a lot of men are that way? They want to do this work, but they just don't know how to do it.
Oh, absolutely. Kevin, I think we've gone several generations. You know, once everybody left the farm where grandpa and dad and sons and grandsons and granddaughters and so on were all together, we've really lost the connections within the homes. Obviously, the divorce rate is so high, so a lot of children are being raised without both parents in the home. So, yeah, there's a lot of confusion about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never met a man, I never met one man in all of my travels that said, I really want to mess up my children. I don't want to do this correctly.
Right.
So their desire is, and they just need a track to run on. That's why we put this thing together. I believe that there are three fundamental things that have to be in place for a father's plan. And when you have those three things in place, and they're not difficult, they take time, when those three things are in place, then, man, you have got an exponentially better shot at raising a son or a daughter successfully.
Well, I want to talk about those three things, but just before we do, let me remind our listening audience, we're speaking to Brian Molitor. He is the author of a book called Boy's Passage, Man's Journey, and the foreword in the book is written by John Trent. There's an associated video series, six videos, which are primarily a discussion between Brian and Kurt Cameron about the issues that are covered in detail in the book. There's also a study guide that goes along with it. I am going to be giving away a couple of copies of the full package here today, the entire kit, for folks that this would be a great Father's Day gift. If you want to have the opportunity to take advantage of getting a copy of this, I'm giving away copies of that. I'm also giving away copies of R.C. Sproul's book, How Then Shall We Worship? Dr. Sproul is going to be here in Greenville next week. He's going to be over at the TD Convention Center. In fact, there is actually an event taking place where you can go to a dinner that's going to be held there. It's only $10. And then there's also they're having a special Q&A session, a panel discussion about Christology, the great subject of Christology. So I think Sinclair Ferguson, Dr. Sproul, and many others are going to be participating in that panel next Tuesday night. So I wanted to give away some copies of his book as well during the program. Here's two ways that you can participate in the program today. One way is we set up a toll-free number. It's good nationwide, so you can call in if you're listening on sermon audio from another area of the country. We're actually going to mail these resources to you, so you don't have to be right here in the Greenville area and come by the studio. And so if you want to do that, you can call in. That number is 1-888-660-WLFJ. That equates to 1-888-660-9535. So we'd be happy to take your call and your comment that way, and then you can give Gary will tell you where to send my your mailing address. And then you can also connect with me via email. My email address is kttradio@gmail.com. I'm using Gmail because I want to make it easy for Google to get my information over to the NSA, so it just makes it easy for everybody. No, it's kttradio@gmail.com, and you can use that. Brian, just before I went into that information, you said that there were three fundamental points here. Why don't you go ahead and list those points? We might get started on the first one. We have to take a break at the bottom of the hour, but why don't you list them, and then we'll make a go at the first one there and then pick it up from there.
You bet. There are three fundamental elements of a plan that we want dads, single moms, grandpas, foster parents, whoever's raising the next generation, we want them to have in mind. It's called lifelong mentoring, and then intentional blessing, and then a rite of passage for today's young people.
Mm.
All right?
Yep.
So let's look at lifelong mentoring. Mentoring is much discussed these days. You know, everybody's talking about mentoring. But, boy, if you don't really understand what mentoring's all about, we end up going bowling with the next generation and when we call it good.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the point. If we think about how Jesus taught his next generation, if you will, his disciples, he didn't sit them down in a classroom. He didn't look at his watch or his sundial and go, well, okay, it's time for a class. Now let's learn and then we'll go about life. Mm. Instead, he said, let's go about life together. And so he walked with the people that he was imparting wisdom and knowledge to, and he said, look at the sky. This is what the sky says. This is what the sky tells us by observation. Look at the fig tree. Consider that woman over there that just put in two mites to the offering, and let me explain what that meant to you and how you can apply these kinds of things in your life. So lifelong mentoring is just the process of connecting with the next generation, walking through life with them, watching for very teachable moments, and whether it was dealing with a bully at school or buying toothpaste at the store or getting your homework done or doing your chores, there are life lessons that God puts in front of us throughout the day. If mm-hmm. you're a dad or a mom, there's a life lesson just about every other minute. And if you'll stop and realize that your job as a parent is not just to get through the day so you can get your head back on the pillow and survive those little rascals that are always, you know, making so much noise and mess, but it's to prepare them to be successful in your absence.
Amen.
And don't, so it's not just a matter of just getting stuff done. It's a matter of explaining what's going on so that young people don't have to learn by sink or swim, trial and error.
Mm, that's so true. And isn't that exactly what we saw in Deuteronomy chapter 6? You know, it speaks about these words shall be in thy heart to start with, speaking about the father specifically and the parent in general. But then he says that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, verse 6. And then it goes on and says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. So we think, okay, I need to get them into a Christian school. I need to get them into, we need to homeschool, or I need to get them into a, you know, we need to go to a good church. Well, that's a good place to start. But as you just pointed out, it says, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. That is not formal educational setting. That's going through life with them, right?
Absolutely.
And so in all of those settings, you can't script the type of questions that come up during that time. I'm doing this right now with my grandson, and so I spend a lot of time with him, and it's just amazing how many opportunities come up to share some sort of an aspect of the gospel message with him. You know, why is this thing made this way? Why do we do this? Why do we go to church on Sunday? Why don't we go on a different day? He started the other day to say something to me, and then he stopped. You know, he said, well, what about, and then he goes, well, never mind. And so, you know, the time wasn't right. It didn't come up during that time, but he had a question about something, and I'm just going to patiently wait for whatever that question was to come out again. But you can't script all these moments. You can't say, well, Johnny, you know, between 6:15 and 6:40, I have a little slot here. So ask all your important questions then, and we'll get those out of the way, and then we can move on with something else. It just doesn't work that way. Right, Brian?
That is absolutely correct. And that should take so much pressure off us as parents, as fathers, as mothers, as grandparents that are helping to raise the next generation, foster parents, whatever it is. The moments will come. The Lord knows. We're stewards of these young people. They actually belong to the Lord, not to us. And I realize, and we need to realize, wrap our minds around, even though it's busy and it's hard work raising children, God gives us about 18 years to lay a foundation upon which the child will build for half a century. It's worth the investment.
Mm. Amen. It is definitely worth the investment. And I would say, and I've just said this in a counseling class, just or a counseling session that I had with a young man just recently, I said he wanted to know what the will of God was, a young married man with now young children. I said, the will of God for your life. I feel completely confident in saying this. I don't go around just telling people what the will of God is, but I said, in the providence of God, the will of God is for you to disciple your family. God has providentially brought you together with this woman. He wants you to be involved in leading her spiritually in your home. God, tells us this in his word. And God has providentially given you children, praise the Lord, and God wants you to mentor those children in the things of God. You start there and do that job, and then if you still got some time afterwards, I'll tell you a couple of other things that maybe God is leading you to be involved in. But there's your responsibility, and I can say wholeheartedly that that is what the will of God is for your life. And I think when we start seeing it this way, once again, as fathers and husbands, then we will see a dramatic change taking place in Christian families across this country. Brian, we're going to come right back. I want to hear about that next part. You said that the second point, I believe, was blessing, intentional blessing. And I want to talk about that because words are so powerful, as James tells us. So I want to learn about what do we specifically say to our children and how do we say it in order to bring about the type of blessing or the type of results that we're looking for. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break. Let me remind our listening audience, we're speaking with Brian Molitor about his book, which is called Boy's Passage, Man's Journey. There's also an associated DVD series that's there, a six-part DVD series that goes along with it, and a study guide. I'm giving away a couple of copies of that on the program today, along with R.C. Sproul's book. I'll give you some information about how you can get a copy of it when we come back from the break, so stay tuned.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
On the next edition of the Mike Huckabee Show, we'll talk with Peter Schweitzer on DC insider trading regarding Medicare. May just be the next big scandal coming out of Washington, as if we needed another one. Also, we're going to have a very special third hour on the Mike Huckabee Show. We'll be talking with the makers of the film 20 Feet from Stardom. It's some of the greatest people in music you probably don't know, but yet you really do. Find out who on the next Mike Huckabee Show.
Today at noon on Christian Talk 660.
Did God write the Bible? This is Ken Ham, author and speaker on the Bible's reliability and authority. I've often been asked this question about who wrote the Bible. And you know, some people believe the writers of the Bible were just dictation machines, writing out the words as they heard them from God. Others believe that the writers just had great wisdom. But what does the Bible say? You see, the Apostle Paul told Timothy that all Scripture is God-breathed. What he meant was that Scripture was breathed out by God. And the Apostle Peter wrote that the Holy Spirit moved these men to write. So the Bible wasn't dictated to them. The Bible was written by men who were directed by the Holy Spirit to produce the infallible Word of God. Isn't it amazing that we can look at Scripture for answers about itself?
Why should we trust the Bible? You'll find answers to this and many other questions when you visit our attractive website at answersingenesis.org. That's answersingenesis.org.
Hi, this is Bill from Just Right Auto Repair. We're a locally owned, independent automotive repair center. You will never hear any gimmicks from me. Everyone knows there's no such thing as a free oil change. We just want to help you keep your car safe and on the road. Please call us at 242-1961. You have my word that we will never try to sell you anything that is not needed. I will be happy to show you anything that we might recommend. Call me at 242-1961. That's 242-1961.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second segment of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're talking today about fatherhood, and we're talking about that subject with our special guest on the program today, Brian Molitor. He is the author of a book that is called Boy's Passage, Man's Journey. If I could sum it up, I guess, we're talking about intentional fatherhood, you know, that actually applying our mind and our strength to this work that God has set us to. I'm actually at the point now of the grandchildren. So I think grandchildren are God's way of saying you get a second shot. Here, some of the stuff, you know, I wish I knew this the first time around, but you get another opportunity here in order to invest yourself in the life of your grandchildren as well. And so this is for fathers, this is for families, you know, to be involved in this, to think and think biblically and deeply about this subject. This is, you know, it's got broad application. This is certainly something that is really good for the church. You know, as a pastor, I am always looking for ways to be able to encourage and equip the fathers in our congregation. You know, this is what part of the responsibility of being a pastor is. It's not, I thought when I was in seminary that if I just learned to sermonize and I could put together a good sermon, that this would be the majority of the job that I had as a pastor. And I've learned over the years of pastoring, you know, now 15, 20 years of pastoring, that as important as that is for the actual Sunday morning, Sunday evening delivery of the text that we're on, which is very important. We believe in the centrality of preaching in our congregation. Very important aspect. But it is not the only aspect of what we have before us. And so it is very important for pastors to understand that we also need to be counseling and equipping people, preparing them to do the job that God has called them to do. And so I think that that is equally important aspects of the ministry. The Apostle Paul said that, you know, that day and night he was there with tears talking to the folks there at Ephesus about the ministry of the word in their life. That was the idea, the ministry of the word in their life. And so that's what we need to be involved in as preachers, as pastors in our congregation. Not preaching is a portion of that ministry of the word. Other portions of it include things like this, equipping the people in the congregation to do the work that God has given them to do. We're giving away copies of this package here today on the broadcast. The number here is 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Also have email up and running. That's kttradio@gmail.com. So you can go out there and leave a question or a comment for our special guest today. We'll go ahead and put you in the running. Folks have already done this, and so they're already in the running here for us to give away some copies of this. We're actually going to mail the copies directly to you, so it's open to the folks there out on Sermon Audio as well. By the way, Jim put together a nice little montage out there of some of the materials, the promotional materials for Brian's work here, his book and the video series as well, featured Kurt Cameron in that montage. He just took some of the material off of their website. We may play that during the audio portion as well because it was very good. Maybe as we approach up to another break or something, we might be able to fit it in. But for the folks there on Sermon Audio watching, they got to see it during the break, and so it was very, very helpful. Let's go back to our discussion now with Brian. Brian, we talked about a little bit about the lifelong mentoring and what that means. It's not just formal instruction. It's being there, spending time, and using those moments in a wise way in order to speak to them about important issues. And so we talked a little bit about that. What about this idea of blessing during that little montage that we just played? There was one point where Kurt is out on the street with a microphone, and he says to one of the men, you know, are these the types of words that you heard growing up? And the man is probably in his 60s. He said, I never heard those positive words like, son, I love you, I'm proud of you, and so forth, until I was about 50 years old. And so speak to us about the importance of these types of words in the life of young people.
There's ample evidence in the scriptures of the power of our words. You know, we're told that, the tongue has the power of life and death, literally. And in so many other ways, we'll be held accountable for every word that we speak and so on. So it's very clear. And I love to go all the way back to the very beginning. The earth was shapeless and void, and God spoke, and order resulted. And so what I want dads to understand, certainly moms as well, is that in a chaotic life of a young person, I don't care if they're going through terrible twos or first day of school or teenage years, there's turmoil in the minds of young people. And the words from a father can take that chaos and that mess that's going on inside there and literally bring order to it. And this is by God's design. He gives parents the right words to say at the right time to take the chaos out of the lives of our young people and replace it with order. Now, I believe that intentional blessing, and what we teach is that there are really three forms of intentional blessing. The first is affirming, encouraging words. And that's not flattery. Flattery is saying something nice to somebody else to get something for myself. I'm talking about genuine blessing. When I speak kind words to someone, I went all the way back, as I was doing my research for the book and the project, Kevin, I went all the way back to when the children wanted to come to Jesus, and the disciples said, no, hey, we got an 11 o'clock service here, get out of the way, or whatever they said. But Jesus squared them up, yeah. And he said, no, this is what the kingdom's all about. And the word says that he laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. And I confess, when I read that, I pictured a photo op. You know, he kind of picked them up and then did a selfie with his cell phone and set them down. No. The word, when you go back and study the original, the word he laid his hands on them is the word haptomai, which means to touch, to exert a modifying influence upon. So Jesus, a trusted man, touched these children in an appropriate way, and they felt the strength of the man, they felt acceptance, they felt love just through that simple touch, and we've got the same opportunities today to do that. In addition, the word says he spoke well of them. He eulogio, like our word eulogy. Well, we wait till somebody's passed on and we say nice things. Our model Jesus spoke well of the children. He didn't say bless you like we say in the church or when somebody sneezes, my goodness. Instead, he looked at the child and he spoke to them. He said, you look great. I appreciate the way you took care of your little sister when you walked through the crowd. God has a plan for you. So there's our model right there, is we can touch in an appropriate way, and God gives us strength in our hands and arms to literally bring comfort and protection to children. And then we can use our words to cover them and literally protect them from all of the mess that the world's going to throw at them. And the final part of the intentional blessing is our prayer. And a lot of guys have said, well, prayer is women's work. No, it isn't. The prayer of a father over a child at night causes that young person to sleep sweetly. It lets them know that my dad values me enough that he's talking to the creator of the universe about me, and it provides a wonderful role model for a young son or daughter that this is what fathers do. They pray for their children.
Oh, that's excellent. You know, you talk about that appropriate touch, and I saw in the video where you talk about you have to, unfortunately, because of the sick society that we live in, include the word appropriate. But that touch, you know, I can still, in my own life, I can think about my own dad or whatever, just, you know, kind of just ruffling up your hair or something when you come by, you know, just doing that, or
yes.
Being at an event and he's got his hand on my shoulder or something along that line. It's not unbelievable. It's believable, but it is remarkable as to how powerful such a little thing can be. And when you talk about that affirmation verbally, that's there as well. I still remember my dad passed away, went home to be with the Lord a couple of years ago. And I still remember when he was in the hospital, basically on his deathbed, I still remember coming in and him saying, "Hey, champ," when I walked into the room. And that type of statement like that, you know, I mean, it just, I don't know how to explain it other than saying that by the design of God, that there is this connection there that not much needs to be said, but it is extremely powerful in that connection. And, of course, as you mentioned there, prayer as well, for our children to hear us praying. I did a program just recently about the Psalms and about using the Psalter in our services. And one of the items that the author brought out about using the Psalter more often was that the Psalms gives us the language to use in prayer. It helps us to see the psalmist in prayer himself and some of the things that he says. And I think that if fathers understood that, they could get some more help there, so another resource to be able to use the Word of God itself in order to give them some of the language to speak when they approach in prayer. So that is just excellent, Brian. I think that that is well worth the price of the book right there. I think good point. Now, a third point that you bring out in your book then is a marked time of transition, that there has to be a point where a boy becomes a man. And again, going back to your video, Kurt goes out on the street again, and he says to the people that he's interviewing, some little cafes and stuff that he's at, he asks them, he says, "When does a boy become a man?" And I specifically remember one person there saying, "Well, that's a really good question. When does this actually take place?" Right now, it's so willy-nilly. It's, when you're 18, you know, you're out of this house, you know, you're on your own, this type of thing. It really has not been defined very well. Tell us what you have done here in this work, in this project, to help us to find that better and why that's so important.
Yeah, great. And here's what I want our listeners to picture in their minds. I want them to put these three things together, then we'll talk about the rite of passage. So when your child is born, when they're very young, or as soon as you get the revelation, because we've got a lot of listeners whose children are older and they're going, "Man, is it too late?" No, you just start right now, all right? So you begin the mentoring process. The older they get, you move away from parenting and go more into partnering, because they're going to be on their own at some point. So we're gonna mentor. We're going to be available to teach life lessons all of our lives. Along the way, as we're walking through life with their sons and daughters or grandsons and granddaughters, we're going to be blessing them with appropriate touch. We're going to encourage them. Our words are going to cancel out the curses of the world, and we're going to pray for them, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So now we're walking them toward a very special season of life where they're going to transition from boys to men, from girls to women. Okay, so how do you do that? Well, I did lots of research of other cultures. And what I found was that many other cultures have literally built into their culture and society a specific season, time, or even day when there is this transition that takes place. Of course, our Jewish friends have the bar mitzvah and the bat mitzvah, where a young boy transitions into a man, a girl transitions into a woman. The Lakota Native Americans had a vision quest where there was a transition that would take place. The Navajo Native Americans had a ceremony called Canalda, wherein young girls became women. Ancient Romans had a ceremony called Toga Virilis, and on it goes. In our modern society, the question Kirk was asking these guys, I was asking in 97 of people, and it was when they're 18, when they're 16, they become a man when they have their first drink, and so on and so on. And I said, that can't be correct. And so I finally figured out the answer. And the answer is this: a boy becomes a man when the elders of his family or society declare him to be one.
Hmm. And so them being the previous generation, the wise people from the previous generation, when they make a a formal statement that you have passed from childhood to manhood. This whole notion of a teenager, I think, is an American concoction that's not really that old. But from manhood, from childhood to being a man, that's the point then where this is being done. We don't have that event that's taking place in our society today. And there seems to be a number of repercussions. A failure to launch is what it's referred to today, this perpetual adolescence that's going on today and so forth. So the absence of that is certainly problematic, right?
Yeah, it's very destructive to the children, to the parents. There's never a letting go. This is why we've got 50-year-old guys, you know, with their bellies hanging over their belts, and they're getting the red sports cars, and they're looking for a new wife, and they're all this nonsense. That's childishness is what that is, and it's because there's never been a transition. The midlife crisis, in my opinion, Kevin, is simply a delayed response to the lack of somebody declaring me to be a man and then causing me to move toward maturity as opposed to chasing after temporal things. So what we've done is we've created, and this is what I did back in 97, was created the first rite of passage for my oldest son, and then certainly there's been countless numbers of these around the world as a result. I mean, the book Boy's Passage, Man's Journey, is now in Mandarin, Portuguese, French, Spanish, and Korean.
Wow.
So this is something that God is really releasing on the earth.
Mm.
And here's how a rite of passage works. It's very simple. What we did, we brought together a number of men. In my case, the first one I did for Chris, about 30 guys came, and there's no magic number. I mean, you could do a rite of passage with just a few. These are respected men. These were men of God, white, black, brown, rich and poor, guys that I wanted to impart into my son. Prior to the event, and it was an evening event that we held at a local hotel in a big double room, I said, guys, I sent him a letter. I said, men, I want you to write my son a letter about becoming a man. I want you to bring him a symbolic gift. Don't go down to the local store and buy him some plastic electronic junk, but look around your workshop or your fishing vest or whatever, and you find something of value that symbolizes manhood. I want you to come to this event and then share these with my son. So I walked Christopher in, and here was his beloved grandfather was there. The 30 guys came. They all read their letters and handed symbolic gifts to Christopher. Not one guy made it through his letter without shedding tears. A very, very powerful event. And, Kevin, at the end of it, we brought Chris out, and we sat him in a chair in the middle, and I got to lay my hands on his beautiful face, and some of my other pastor buddies and just other good men came around him. And we put our hands on his shoulders, and he got to hear his father say, Christopher Brian Molitor, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And from this moment forward, I receive you as a man, and I will walk with you as we grow in maturity, but you are a man from this day forward. And, brother, I believe, and I know from being at so many of these since over the years, the past more than a decade now, that act seals the identity of a young guy.
Mm-hmm.
It clears up any confusion about his masculinity, sexuality, was I made this way, was I made that way, and it sends him on a course to pursue maturity rather than some aimless search for manhood.
Excellent. I was so glad that you went into what was involved there. And when you mentioned identity, that's what I was going to say when you mentioned the midlife crisis. It's an identity crisis. They're not quite sure who they are. And I think you're absolutely right. And in this rite of passage, you're really sealing that identity of who that child is. And I think that's an excellent, excellent point. It's so funny that, you know, we've taken so much from the, you know, we talk about the Judeo-Christian heritage, and much of what we have in the church obviously was started in Judaism, and yet the one thing that didn't come over was the whole bar mitzvah, you know, the rite of passage that took place. For some reason, that seems to have been left off. Any reason why?
Oh, I think we want to be free, and you know, we want to do our own thing, and yeah, traditions are old-fashioned and all that, which is absolute rubbish. Christians understand traditions. We have wonderful celebrations, very traditional celebrations, Christmas and Easter. We have our own celebrations in our homes for birthdays and the way that we handle, you know, the birth of a child and so on and so forth. I just think it's been a blind spot for us, and it has been disastrous.
Mm-hmm.
But it is redeemable, and I believe we're going to turn this around in one generation, as men and women and single parents and grandparents apply these things, apply a plan, and begin raising that next generation by design and not by default. It is not too late. Mm-hmm. We just need to get to work.
Brian, in the closing minutes of the broadcast, would you give people the place that they can go to find out more, to get a copy of your material, and find out more about how to do this and how to get started?
Yeah, absolutely. If they're interested in the project I did with Kirk, the distributor set up a special website for that. It's very simple. It's simply boyspassage.com, boyspassage.com.
Mm-hmm.
So encourage them to go there and pick up a set. Great for home studies, and a lot of people are using it for Sunday schools, and pastors are handing out, so that's really neat. Also, I do a lot of blogging about parenting and connecting the generations. So I do a lot of work with elders as well, and just give some ideas. We've got tons of material. In fact, a little secret. We're working on two new projects. One is a TV series that will be on Christian television called TV for Dads that we'll be shooting this summer. And we'll also be doing a companion project to the one I did with Kirk, because we've got a book for raising daughters called Girls Passage, Father's Duty.
Excellent.
So they can get more of that information on my personal website, which is briandmolitor.com. So just B-R-I-A-N, D as in David, M-O-L-I-T-O-R.com. Would love to have people stop by, and we'll get to know them electronically at the start, and then we'll see where we go from there.
Excellent. Brian, one more thing. In just the closing minute, you had about a minute to do this, but would you just speak to the fathers? This is Father's Day. This is the last broadcast that I do before Father's Day coming up this Sunday. Would you take just a moment just to speak to the fathers, to their heart, and then we'll close out the broadcast?
Yeah, absolutely. And let me just pray for them if I could.
Sure.
Lord, I pray for every man listening, God. I pray for every man that was wounded as he was growing up, and those that have been disappointed as parents. Lord, I pray for those that are struggling with, have I done enough? Is there still time? Is there hope? God, I ask that you would just bless men with hope right now. I pray healing to the wounds from the past. And God, I pray a fresh fire would fall upon men's hearts right now, and that they would rise up and they would be the fathers that they are called to be. Men, let me tell you, it's never too late. Today's the day. Just get going. Just pick up where you are right now and watch and see what God will do through your life.
Thank you so much, Brian, for leading us in prayer there. Thank you for the work that you've done and putting these materials together. And thank you so much for meeting with us today on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We really appreciate all of these efforts.
My pleasure, my brother. Thank you.
Okay. That was Brian Molitor. He mentioned his website. You can go there to find out all of the information. Brian's involved in a number of things, and so you can go there. That website, again, is Brian D. Molitor. It's Brian D., and the last name is spelled MOLITOR.com. That's MOLITOR.com. If you still want to be entered into the drawing that I'm going to do to send you a copy. I've got a couple of copies of this material that I'm going to send out that the publisher has okayed me to give away during the program today. You can still shoot that over. The email address is kttradio@gmail.com. That's KTT for Knowing the Truth. kttradio@gmail.com. Be happy to put you into the running there. For the for these gifts that were given away. Also giving away an R.C. Sproul How Then Shall We Worship book there as well. A couple of events coming up next week here in Greenville. I'm going to be over at the TD Convention Center doing some interviews over there on Tuesday through Thursday. That's the PCA General Assembly that's taking place. That's on Tuesday. That's going to be taking place Tuesday will be the day also that R.C. Sproul and others will be participating in a panel discussion Tuesday night. Go out to Ligonier.org to find out more about that under their events section. Also, Second Prez is hosting a conference here in Greenville as well. You can shoot me an email. I'll give you a link for that. Remember that Jesus said, he said that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We'll see you next time right here on Knowing the Truth.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life and Liberty Radio, Christian Talk 660, WLFJ Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson on AM 660, and also on FM 92.9.